Hallelujah. Amen. Please take your seats. The title of my sermon today is From Obscurity to the Top. Hallelujah. Obscurity and hiding right to the top. How many of us, it's the year of expansion. How many of us are believing God that we are going to get to the top? How many really, really believe that this is the year of expansion? And we're going straight to the top. Amen. Can we turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9? And I'm sure a lot of us know this scripture very well. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Hallelujah. And shall we? Can we all read it, please? Come on. As it is written, high as not seen, nor ear, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those. Okay, as you read it again, you know, just touch your eyes. Say, eye has not seen, nor has heard, pull your ears, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Okay. Put up your hands right now if you do not love the Lord. Ha! You guys all put up your hands. You gotta wait. So put up your hands right now if you do not love the Lord. Hallelujah. We all love the Lord, right? Amen. And he says, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Say to your neighbor, say, neighbor! God has prepared great things for me. And say to them, I know that he has prepared great things for you too. Hallelujah. Listen, it's a year of expansion. Amen. We're believing God for great things this year. Wave if you're believing God for great things this year. We're believing God for great things this year. But listen to this. God has already prepared the great things for us already. I mean, he's already prepared all the great, the good, the blessings. He's already prepared them. He's not thinking, oh my gosh, Harvest Church is the year of expansion. Oh, I've got to go try and get stuff ready for them now. Oh gosh, Marilyn is believing God for expansion this year. Ooh, what am I going to do for Marilyn? Ooh, okay, let me go get things ready for Marilyn. Oh my gosh, ooh, Prof is believing God for great things this year. Ooh, is that how God is? He has prepared, already prepared, already prepared. So what's going on right now? We're believing God for expansion this year. God's prepared the blessings, the expansion for us. So what's God waiting for? Hello? God, say, God's waiting for me. Because you know, sometimes when you say God's waiting for us, you're like, us, you guys. God's waiting for me. God's already prepared the blessings. He's preparing us so that when he gives us the blessings, we can handle it. There's no point in him blessing us. I know we can handle the blessings. So he's preparing us for the blessings. The blessings are ready. So right now, say, my blessings, they are so ready. Ready for me. Amen. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16. I'm going to show you an example here. 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to read about a man called Elisha. Like I said, God's prepared the blessings for us. He's just waiting for us to be ready. And usually what happens is we're there in obscurity, we're going about our daily, normal, mundane lives. Yes? Meanwhile, God's in heaven doing what he needs to do. Amen. So we'll read about this, guys. First Kings chapter 19, verse 16. And this is God talking to Elijah when God was going to replace Elijah. God said to him, also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Hallelujah. So God is telling Elijah, this is the person that's going to take your position, Elisha. Okay? Elisha just shows up. Before this verse, we had heard nothing about Elisha. Nobody knew who Elisha was. The Bible fails to mention him anywhere, but here, he's just introduced to us right here. Amen? Go. Elisha is going to take your place. And then, listen to where Elisha was. Verse 19 tells us where he was. So he says, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. I mean, I had a video, but it's a pity our thing isn't working. I wanted to show you what plowing actually entails. So I need 2 volunteers, please. I'm going to do this quickly. 2 volunteers, please, about the same height. Please. Yes, please. Please hold this. This is the yoke. Imagine. I had a good video. This is the yoke around the necks. And, okay. So this is my oxen. Okay. So this is Elisha. And you guys are going to be working, and so you guys keep going. Go. So this is my, and they're digging their heels into the floor, right? And Elisha is doing this. And that's what he does all day long with ox. And, yeah, keep going all day. Like, and they want to go out of place, and he pulls them back this way, and he pulls them back that way. Thank you very much. Please sit. But all the while, you know, the oxen, what they're doing is they're breaking the hard ground, breaking it, softening up the soil. And Elisha, too, is kind of using the stick and putting them in place, directing them all day long. And he has, like, another 11 pair right ahead of him all day long. What kind of job is that? Is that exciting? What kind of skills do you need to be able to do that? Patience, perseverance, what? You need a GPS, sat nav. You need to know where they're going, direction, yes? But strength, patience, perseverance. That was what Elisha was doing. Imagine the view. Can you imagine who was Elisha talking to all day long? Who was he prophesying to all day long? His oxen. He was preaching to the oxen, prophesying to the oxen all day long. Because you know why I think so? Because when Elijah got to him, and we'll read now, he says he was plowing the yoke of oxen before him, right? Let's read the next verse. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Verse 20 says, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. The way Elisha responded, when Elijah came and threw the mantle on him, he knew what he meant. And then also, he was ready to follow Elijah. The Bible says, he said, look, let me go kiss my mother and father goodbye. And Elijah was saying, you can do what you like, basically. But then what he did was, he went ahead. He says, verse 21 says, he slaughtered the oxen, boiled their flesh, and gave it. So he made a sacrifice and gave it to the people. And then he rose and he ran after Elijah. And we know the story of Elisha and Elijah, how Elijah so many times would tell Elisha, you know, you stay here while I go yonder. You stay here. But what did Elisha keep doing? He kept on following. Like, there's so no way I'm going to let you go. Remember when he said, look, I want a double portion of your anointing. And Elijah said to him, if you see me being taken off by my father, then you can have it. You know, there was that. Uh-huh. And Elisha, you know, stayed put. But also what's interesting is, What made God choose Elisha? Why didn't God go and choose a replacement for Elijah from the schools of the prophets? There were some guys who were in a school of prophets. Why didn't God choose a replacement from them? Yes, God chose Elisha. Amen. But once God had been preparing Elisha in obscurity, he was just doing his mundane task. Because that's what God does with us. Once we're busy doing our stuff, and sometimes we think it's mundane, we just think, oh, this is just my normal 9-to-5 job. There are things that God teaches us whilst we are on our day-to-day mundane jobs. Sometimes even your role as a mom, a dad, God teaches you stuff. Amen. So the Bible says we must not despise the days of little beginnings. God always takes people from obscurity and takes them out. And so God has stages. Amen. Remember David. When David was anointed by Samuel to become king, where did Samuel find David? 1 Samuel 16, verse 2. Where did he find him? He was tending the sheep. Remember, Samuel went and knocked on Jesse's door? And Jesse brought out all his tall, dark, handsome sons. And David wasn't one of them. And God said, the first one, Eliab, no, I have refused this one. It's not this one. I haven't chosen him. And he said, look, do you have another son? Because listen, what God has put in you, it doesn't matter if nobody can see it. It doesn't matter if your closest family members cannot see it. There was a king in David, and his father could not see it. Hallelujah. But God could see it. Because God doesn't choose the way we choose. God chooses looking at our hearts. So that's how God picked David. How did God pick Moses? What was Moses doing? Remember, he was tending sheep as well. 40 years. 40 years. Bah. Bah. That was what he was. For 40 years, that experience was not lost. When God eventually called Moses, he called him out of that. And then he started having to lead the children of Israel. Amen? Okay, so follow me as we go along. There was another person called Joseph. Joseph, we know Joseph's story. Joseph had a dream. And the way he thought the dream would go, he didn't actually go that way. He had a dream that he was ruling over his father, his mother, and his brothers. But the way God did it, first of all, his brother sold him into slavery. Remember? Yes, so he went into slavery. And then he was in Potiphar's house. What was Joseph doing in Potiphar's house? He was serving his master diligently. I'm not going to tell you to smack your neighbor, but can you please just shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, please serve diligently. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever our hands find to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Joseph had so many reasons why he could have had an attitude. Like, do you know who I am? In my father's house, I had a coat of many colors. I was a big man. I was the favorite son. Now, a slave? I should not be a slave. And then just generally have a bad attitude, you know, in Potiphar's house. But listen, whilst he was doing what he was doing in Potiphar's house, he was in training. Because, you know, the Bible says he was in charge of all of Potiphar's house. And then what happened again? You know, sometimes when stuff happens to us and it looks like demotion, sometimes it's God's route to promotion. Amen. Because what happened again was he was in Potiphar's house. He was now the chief servant. So promotion. And all of a sudden, something happened. Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him. He refused. He ran off. And the next thing he knew, he was in prison for doing the right thing. Because sometimes we find ourselves in a jam simply because we chose to do the right thing. But listen, hold on. Just hold on, because God's still doing something. And next thing we knew, he was in prison. Right? He was in prison. We remember what happened with the prison. He revealed the dream, the servant's dreams. And what happened? This baker, the cupbearer, it was the cupbearer and the baker. The cupbearer forgot about Joseph. There are times when we think God has forgotten us. Or actually, sometimes we think someone we did a favor to has forgotten us. It's good for someone to forget you. Remember, God always remembers you. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, say, God remembers me. God will never forget me. So God, at the appointed time, God remembered David, remembered Joseph. God remembered Joseph. God remembered Joseph. And listen to what happened when it was that time, Joseph was ready. Hallelujah. Joseph was ready. So I just want to say to you, God has a process. The Bible says the footsteps of a righteous man, they're ordered of the Lord. That's Psalm 37 verse 23. Ordered of the Lord. Our footsteps. So everything that goes on in our lives, God orders them. Sometimes it doesn't look like they're going the way they should go, but God has a plan. So I want to show you this. There are four different steps to go to get to the top. Amen. I need four volunteers, please. Please come out. And four P's it is. That's the way it is. Four volunteers, please. 9 o'clock service. Volunteer. Okay, so the first step is preparation. Amen. That one. That. Hallelujah. So the first step is preparation. Like Elisha, he was just doing his normal routine, whatever. But he was learning patience, perseverance, and all of that. And that's how come he couldn't miss Elijah when Elijah was taking off. So that was it. David, remember when God called David? He called him, he too was a shepherd, right? So that's preparation. God prepares us. And then what God does is God points us out. You know, so sometimes you're in obscurity, you're just doing your stuff, you don't know what's going on. But then there comes a time when God now points you out, like David. Go and anoint David. Elisha, go call Elisha. Moses, God said, you know, I've heard the cries of my people. I have come down to rescue them. And he chose Moses. So God points. And sometimes what happens is when God pointed at us and said, look, you, I need you, you're going to do something. You're going to be the King David. You're going to be leading my children out. You're going to be. So that's God pointing at us. And then nothing kind of happens. But sometimes what happens is God takes us to this stage where it's placement. He places us where we can learn. Elisha, he went with Elijah. But he did not become the prophet immediately. What was he doing? He was serving. He was serving Elijah. That was his placement. That was practical training he was getting. And then David, remember David, how come Samuel came, anointed him, and then left him there? Why would you anoint me to be king, and then you don't take me to the palace? Why are you living in my father's house? He was still a shepherd. Do you know what God does with us? He hides us in obscurity so we can learn the tools that we will use when we get here. And so what happened with David was, he was still a shepherd boy. But listen to what happened with David. His placement was still being a shepherd. He had the opportunity to kill the lion and the bear. So think about how many times David would have practiced with his sling. Sometimes he would have missed. And sometimes he would have, you know. So God gave him time to practice. Because God knew that one day he would face Goliath. Also, remember, even when Saul started seeking after David's life. You know, the Bible says that David was living in a cave. And it says, disgruntled men, discontented men, all kinds of worthless men. About 400 of them came and gathered with David. Those were the kind of people that David had around him, right? What was he doing? He was now beginning to mentor them and pass on his DNA onto those guys. And then also, he had his own test as well, because two times he had the opportunity to kill Saul. Remember, God was testing him. He was like, and some of his men were saying, God has given your enemy to you. Kill him. What was David to do? David kept on saying, I will not touch the anointed. That was God doing something. So God gave him opportunity upon opportunity to test him, to strengthen him, his strength of character. And if we go ahead and read about David's mighty men, his mighty men were those worthless men. God turned them around. David was a giant slayer and then ended up raising giant slayers. Amen. Amen. Joseph. Joseph's placement. Joseph had a dream that he would become the head. But he too needed training. Tell your neighbor, you need training. We all need training for where we're going to. Listen, he needed training. Where did he get his training? Potiphar's house was number one. Because remember, David, Joseph, he was a spoiled, pompous, cocky young guy. He went to Potiphar's house. You know, slavery straightened him up. So he learned. He was in charge of the whole household. He was learning administration. And then from there, when he thought, you know, he was getting demoted by becoming a prisoner, that was actually promotion. Because he now became the head administrator for the whole prison. Think about the responsibilities that he had. So God was training him. That was his placement. And then also think about attitude. When it seemed like God forgot about him again. Lord, how could you have forgotten about me again? This dream that you gave me got me into this trouble. And now, I thought this dream you gave me, the gift of interpretation of dreams. I interpreted the dreams, therefore it will get me out of that trouble. You folded your hands and you left me to stew in here for another 2 years. Lord, where are you? God was doing something. It's all about timing. Pinch your neighbor and say it's about timing. Because if the cupbearer had remembered Joseph, what would have happened? But there was a time and a season for Joseph to come out. And that time came. Hallelujah. That time came when Pharaoh needed his dreams being interpreted. And that's when he got promoted. Hallelujah. And when that time came, Joseph knew. The Bible says when they asked him to come, he went, he took a bath, he shaved his beard. This is my time. He knew it was his time. Our time will all come. But God takes us from here to here to here to here. Some of us, we're in that preparation stage. If we're in that preparation stage, do not moan, do not grumble, do not complain. Just be diligent, be hardworking, be conscientious, be loving. That guy, Joseph, had to still be loving in the midst of his prison. And then when God finally puts that stamp on you, just know, okay, I know I've been chosen, I've been called. Maybe now what I need to do is get into this place where I'm learning practically. What is the Lord teaching me? Amen? And when we finish learning, and when God knows that we are ready, then promotion comes. Listen, nobody goes from here. Promotion. No. God is a God of process, a God of steps. He orders our every footstep. And sometimes when we think we've made mistakes or we've erred, God will just reroute us. But we all have to go through in order to get here. Amen. Put up your hand right now and say, my promotion is coming. In the name of Jesus. Nothing can stop it. Joseph, it seemed like the enemy had stopped it. The enemy didn't stop it. God worked it together for his good. Hallelujah. So the Lord will work everything together for our good in the name of Jesus. Just please stand and stand to your feet and lift up your hands in Jesus' name. Just lift up your hands. And as you lift up your hands, I want you to lift your hearts to the Lord. Right now, I want you to lift your heart to the Lord. And just if you're here and you're thinking, I've been stuck in this preparation place for so long. I don't know why. I know I've been called to be a prophet. And here I am. I'm just kind of going around with the oxen. Just say, Lord, I repent. Lord, you want to teach me stuff. Lord, I am ready. Come and begin to speak to the Lord. I am ready to learn everything you are teaching me in the name of Jesus. I know that what you have called me to, it will happen in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that you are preparing me for the blessings. Lord, my blessings are ready. My blessings are ready. In Jesus' name. So say after me right now, Father God Almighty, I want to thank you for every single stage of my life. I know that you are doing great things. I know that the outcome will be great and glorious in the name of Jesus. Lord, during the periods that I do not understand what is going on, please just help me to just keep holding on, to keep trusting you, to keep focusing on you, the author, the perfecter of my faith. I trust in you, Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give Jesus, hallelujah, a big clap.